Welcome to the Arizona Traveler. My name is Vicki Duke, and I'm your volunteer broadcaster coming to you from members-supported Sun Sounds of Arizona and bringing to you articles from Travel and Leisure magazine. We are in the February edition. This first article is entitled Ice Dreams. In winter, the lakes of central Sweden become a skater's paradise. Elizabeth Hewitt slips on a pair of blades and finds her flow. The ice beneath my feet was crystal clear, a window into the depths of Lake Mälaren, about 30 miles west of Stockholm. To my untrained eye, the frozen surface looked like a thin pane of glass on the verge of cracking under the razor-sharp blades of my ice skates. But one of my guides, Tituan Arlet, a lean Frenchman in a bright blue jacket, estimated it was about 2¾ inches deep, thin enough to see through but strong enough to hold us securely. It's super safe, he had said earlier, jumping up and down to make his point. Reassured, I put one skate in front of the other, and soon I was soaring past a 16th century red brick castle. The only sound I heard was the whistling of my blades as they glided across the glossy surface. Wild ice skating is at once thrilling and serene, and central Sweden is one of the best places in the world to do it. Hundreds of lakes are scattered across the region, and from December through March, they freeze into natural ice rinks. However, danger can lurk beneath the surface, as I learned at the Stockholm office of Green Trails, a conservation-minded outfitter that leads Nordic skating trips for all skill levels. On a cold February morning, I joined an athletic bunch of 13 from Netherlands, France, the United Kingdom, Sweden, and Germany, ranging in age from their 20s to 50s. Together, we watched an orientation video, carry ice picks, a backpack doubles as a flotation device. If you fall in, don't panic. Afterward, we piled into two black vans and drove 45 minutes southwest to Jengern, a skinny horseshoe-shaped lake known for its clean water and abundant wildlife. On the ride over, a second guide, Jarda Zaurel, explained why the Stockholm area is a skater's paradise. Daytime temps hover around freezing, which, counterintuitively, is ideal. Any accumulated snow melts and refreezes when the temperatures drop at night. The region gets little snow, which leaves the ice clear and smooth. Under a cloudless sky, we pulled up to Hagmasbadet, a small beach in the town of Nykvarn. We walked to the end of the dock and snapped on our blades. Veteran skaters in the group gleefully took off. While I grew up skating in Vermont, I had never tried it on natural ice, so my first few steps were wobbly. Hoping speed would help, I picked up the pace and landed on my face. Luckily, thanks to my helmet and knee pads, I was unbruised. I tightened my laces and tried again. It took a few minutes, but I settled into a meditative step-glide rhythm. For the next hour, the group cruised through the narrow channel, its snow-dusted shores lined with Scotch pines, silver birches, and the occasional wooden cabin. A little past noon, we found a mossy spot on a northern shore and fortified ourselves with sporkfuls of lentil tomato soup from thermoses our guides had prepared. Turns out the ice we had been skating on was thick, maybe 6 inches. Boring, Arlette joked. After a cup of tea and a fresh pair of socks, I joined the more experienced skaters for the second part of the day. We formed a single file behind the Oral and headed toward the southern shore. The ice became thinner, my skates felt lighter and faster as we zipped across the surface. The pine trees became a blur, casting long shadows in the honey-colored winter sun. The sound changed, too. Instead of a loud scrape, the metal glades glided across the ice with an echoing ping that reminded me oddly of a Star Wars blaster gun. Over 3 hours, we traced the shoreline of the curved lake. Then looped back, hugging the opposite shore. We returned to the beach as the sun set around 4 p.m. and drove a half hour northwest to Merrifred, a picturesque village on Lake Malaren. After checking in to a 17th century lakefront inn called Gripsholm Vardus, the group gathered around a fireplace and ate rich beef stew and toastskagen, shrimp salad served atop brioche. We were exhausted but exhilarated, having skated 20 miles that day. The next morning, we set out directly from the hotel's front door. This section of Lake Mälaren, the third largest body of water in Sweden, had just frozen over and the entire surface was black ice, clear of snow, smooth and fast underfoot. Arlet told us to follow him to avoid falling through any weak points. Over the next 5 hours, we skated two long loops around the inlet, stopping briefly on a little hill for a lunch of a Swedish pork sausage that we cooked on sticks over a campfire. As the sun started to dip, a squall blew in, dusting the ice with a layer of snow. Instead of a direct line, we charted a snaking path to the waterfront. I leaned forward against the hard wind, the flakes stinging my cheeks, and relished every stride. And that's the end of that article. Moving on into the magazine, now we're in the Intelligent Traveler section. All Points North is the name of this article. A Scandinavian cruise line has revived a decades-old route that takes passengers to small towns past big-time scenery and above the Arctic Circle. By Sarah Greaves Gabadon. There was no Broadway show, no ice skating rink, no go-kart track. My suite, comfortable as it was, didn't even have a balcony, something that's commonplace on cruise ships these days. But after a few days aboard the Trawford, I didn't miss any of those things. Over the years, I've sailed on more than 30 ships, mostly in the Caribbean. So I was intrigued by the Trawford, not because it can't compete with the latest mega vessels, but rather because of the way it connects with the past. The Hurtigruten ship, which was refurbished in 2023, has resumed service on a route called the Svalbard Express. First offered in 1968, the journey, which starts in Bergen, Norway, was a critical link to the far northern reaches of the country for people, mail, freight, and the occasional tourist. Last June, Hurtigruten relaunched its signature service to Svalbard, the high Arctic archipelago, aiming to shine a spotlight on the islands as well as other small communities along Norway's long, rugged coast. The company has also launched a new journey with a similar focus, the North Cape Express, which connects Oslo and Honningsvåg, the northernmost city on the mainland. I dove into my Svalbard Express voyage, literally, When we arrived at our second stop, Trena, a collection of more than 500 islands that are home to about the same number of people. It's Norway's oldest fishing community, situated at the edge of the Arctic Circle. I took the chance to go for a dip in the exceedingly clear, exceedingly frigid waters, knowing that a few short steps away was a rustic boathouse turned sauna where I could warm up while sipping beer and swapping stories with islanders and other Trollfjord passengers. Farther north in Tromsø, a small group of us set out for a 90-minute hike, which started with a quick cable car ride to a trailhead 1,400 feet above the city. Despite the mid-60s temperature, snow was spilled like confectioner's sugar on the mountainside, something of a revelation for a Miami resident like me. A few days later, in Longyearbyen, one of the northernmost settlements in the world, I joined some fellow travelers in boarding a day-tripping catamaran with whisper-quiet hybrid electric engines for a half day of sightseeing. We traveled through narrow channels until we came face to face with the enormous Nordenskjold Glacier. The many blue ice floes struck me as impossibly huge. But our guides detailed how, because of climate change, it is actually retreating at an alarming rate. That night, Herta Gruten arranged for a candlelit dinner ashore for 10 of us at the Longyearbyen restaurant Huset. Served in the 15,000-bottle wine cellar, the extravagant 14-course meal was brimming with local specialties such as reindeer, sea urchin, and seal. I found plenty to enjoy aboard the ship as well. It has 270 perfectly comfortable cabins, including 21 spacious suites, 5 of them with balconies. Mine, an Arctic Superior, had a sleek neutral look with a compact bathroom and a picture window above the bed. The main dining room, Flora, leans heavily into Scandinavian flavors. Salmon is served many ways and has numerous a la carte choices. Brasserie Aran is influenced by the culture of the indigenous Sami people, with hearty dishes such as braised reindeer, chopped steak burgers, and roasted bone marrow. A third restaurant, Rost, does a formal New Nordic-inspired lunch and dinner. It's included for suite guests. Cabin guests can pay extra for a reservation. There's also a bar, plenty of lounge space, a gym, and a small sauna. During my sail, I felt comfortable and cared for at every turn, even if the vibe wasn't fully 5-star. Think of the Trollfjord as the fanciest of ferries, and you, like me, will be delightfully surprised by where it can take you. Next article, 7 Tips to Maximize Your Next Cruise. A bit of clever planning and this insider advice can take your next vacation from good to great, by Stacy Liaska. Get a view. I love suites located at the back of the ship. They're nice and quiet. They offer wonderful views of the ocean, says Kelly Cochran, an executive chef for Regent Seven Seas Cruises. The stern is also where you often spot whales, seals, and dolphins. Think private. Just because you're on a cruise doesn't mean you have to take a big bus tour, says Jonathan Alder, a TNL A-list advisor and CEO of the agency Jonathan's Travels. It's possible to book a private guide and vehicle so you can make the experience your own. Depending on where in the world you are, private touring like this starts at about $1,000 a day for up to 8 people. Edit your looks. On Regent ships, there's complimentary laundry service, which means you can pack a little smarter, Chef Cochran notes. Plan properly. If you're celebrating a special occasion, be sure to mention it in advance, said Jeremy Club, the founder of expedition-oriented Rainforest Cruises. I proposed to my wife while in the Galapagos Islands, and the crew made a special trip to get champagne so we could toast with all of the guests. Snag seats ASAP. Make dinner reservations before departure, advises Carlos Casido, marketing manager of Luxury Cruise Connections, a travel agency. On many luxury ships, the best restaurants have limited seating, and it's possible all the tables will be gone by the time you embark. Know your limits. Many people don't believe it when we mark excursions as strenuous, says Captain Chris Dodds, who has worked for Scenic and Windstar Cruises. But we actually mean it. And lots of our guests will gleefully power up a hill on a mountain bike or paddle for hours. And finally, power up. Bring a European power adapter, says Jonathan De Arrojo, owner of Disney-focused travel firm The Vacationeer. Lots of outlets and public areas are European style, so having an adapter gives you access to more plugs than other guests will have. The next article, same as it ever was. Crystal Cruises came to a dispiriting end during the pandemic. Now, new leadership is reviving the brand and making it beloved once again. Keith Steiner had notched an astonishing 120 trips aboard Crystal Serenity. The retired telecom executive felt so at home on the luxury vessel that he'd become a fixture at its annual paddle tennis tournament, often mixing it up with the crew. But then his fun came to an abrupt halt. And not just because the world stopped cruising at the start of the pandemic. In the early days of 2022, Crystal Cruises went bankrupt, leaving travelers in the lurch and scrambling to recoup their losses. Still, after all those journeys alongside his wife, Anne Marie, Steiner wasn't about to let the bad times put him off. Last summer, the couple, along with several hundred other devotees, were back for the relaunch of Serenity, which first hit the water in 2003. Today, the brand is known simply as Crystal and is part of A&K Travel Group, the holding company backed by travel luminaries Jeffrey Kent of Abercrombie & Kent, and Manfredi Lebever Davideo, a one-time chairman of Silversea. Since taking the helm, A&K has invested $150 million in Crystal, giving Serenity and sibling ship Crystal Symphony stem to stern overhauls. Both ships returned to service in the summer of 2023. One thing that hasn't changed much is the staff. More than 80% of Crystal's pre-bankruptcy team is back, including many of the butlers who over the years had forged lasting bonds with their guests. More than a few talked about the ship in the same terms you might expect of a grand New England resort, the sort of place families return to year after year. On my trip, I was the only passenger my stateroom attendant, Gijo Jacob, was meeting for the first time. Over the week, he was part housekeeper, part concierge, and during one rocky day at sea, part nurse, bringing consomme, toast, and mint tea to my 430-square-foot sapphire veranda suite while I hid under the custom bedding. While most of Serenity's 377 suites have been completely overhauled, a handful of sapphire veranda suites got only cosmetic touch-ups to please diehards like Linda Glynn, who loved the accommodations just the way they were. "Being back on board feels like a homecoming," Glynn told me over a drink with her husband, Stanley, at the Crystal Cove Bar on Deck 5. She's been on 130 Crystal trips over the years. Her grandson, who's now college age, took his first cruise with the line when he was 2. Still, she's happy to see Crystal evolving with the times. In a measured way, the line may have done away with the onboard casino, but kept its ever-popular Nobu restaurant, Umi Uma. Many of the guests I met on our sail from Naples, Italy to Barcelona were excited about the future, and in particular, the idea of taking shore excursions run by Abercrombie and Kent. I had the chance to preview one when we docked in Livorno, Italy, joining a small group on a truffle hunting excursion in the Tuscan countryside. We followed a sweet dog named Bianca through a cluster of oak trees at Vialto Farm until we uncovered a few fragrant bulbs. Soon after, we were seated on a shaded terrace next to a 16th century farmhouse, helping ourselves to glasses of cold Vermentino before digging into pasta with freshly grated truffles, followed by a truffle-covered fried egg. A few days later, on the island of Corsica, a bus whisked a group of us to Domaine Orsini for a wine tasting and a relaxing stint on a covered patio overlooking the island. And before I disembarked in Barcelona, I crashed an evening tapas excursion to the trendy Elborn neighborhood, where our 10-person group shared a barrage of Spanish tortilla, patatas, bravas, and croquetas at Tapio Delborn. We want to bring to Crystal what A&K does best, which is the excursion, said Christina Lewis, the CEO of both brands. Over coffee, when the ship stopped in Marseille, France, to that end, the cruise line aims to launch a new option in 2025. It will allow guests to depart the ship for a few days at a time to knock out once-in-a-lifetime side trips to destinations such as Machu Picchu. Afterward, they can rejoin the principal itinerary. Who knows? Those ultimate bragging rights excursions may even top a paddle tennis tournament. Next, an appetite for exploration. Expedition cruise lines are setting the table for culinary adventures alongside Food World Superstars by Veronica Stoddart. It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, gushed James Curtis, a frequent cruiser from Houston. He had just made the best muscles of his life. We were docked in Palamos, Spain, on board the 198-passenger World Traveler, and Curtis was raving about cooking alongside Chef Rudy Scholdes, who has worked at the Dorchester in London and Baderutz Palace in Samaritz, Switzerland. Scholdes was aboard for our trip to the Mediterranean and, in the middle of a dinner service, invited Curtis into the ship's main galley to prep platters of shellfish. For Curtis, the chance to get hands-on with a pro was a moment he'll never forget. I've always wanted to cook with a Michelin chef, and then he had dinner with me and my friends. It was brilliant. Such exclusive experiences are what the new Epicurean expeditions from Atlas Ocean Voyages are all about. The company, which often positions itself as an expedition-minded outfit with a focus on food. Well, that's the end of our time together today. Thank you so much for listening to my show, The Arizona Traveler. Again, my name is Vicki Duke, and I am coming to you from member-supported Sun Sounds of Arizona.